Well, good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. Well, this morning we're going to talk about a place that was one of the icons, if you will, stores in our downtown area years ago, and that's Yearwood's Drugstore. You know, when you talk about old businesses, that's one of the ones that usually comes to people's minds first. And Doc Yearwood, Thomas Yearwood, he's been gone for a while. He and his wife didn't have any children, so in order to talk about them, we are going to discuss his business and Yearwood's Drugstore and him with Dina Cassidy, who did work for him, and some of her family did also. We'll talk all about Doc Yearwood and those good old Cherry Cokes right after this word from our sponsor.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome back. We're glad to have you here on All Things Jessamine, and we are glad to have this program today because we're going to do some reminiscing about a business that's set downtown for many years and one that a lot of people wishes was back because we just don't have these kind of things anymore. Now, for several years, there was a drugstore that sat right down on Nicholasville. It was two doors down from where the radio station used to be, which was before that First National Bank, and it was known as Yearwood's Drugstore. And there was a fellow named Thomas Yearwood who ran that, Doc Yearwood, everybody knew him as, along with his wife. Well, the thing is that the Yearwoods had no children, so therefore I can't go to any of the offsprings to talk about their parents. So the next best thing is I pulled in a lady who worked there, and a lot of her family did too, and that's Dina Cassidy. Hello, Dina.
Hello, Doug.
Glad you're here, and we are looking forward to reminiscing about the Yearwoods. You know, my best memory of them, of course, is going to their store when I worked at the radio station, the old radio station, and the Cherry Cokes. Of course, they had the counter. This was the typical Mayberry drugstore, wasn't it?
You could get a nickel Coke, you could get an ice cream float,
yeah,
banana splits, anything behind the counter that we had was
right.
Fountain.
They had it all. And but even the looks,
oh,
and
yeah,
the smell, the everything, it was just that old-timey feeling. Now, the man behind it, of course, was Tom Yearwood. And Tom Yearwood, who was one of the nicest guys that you could ever meet, wasn't very big. A very short fellow. In fact, I remember one time us checking his car, because he parked behind the radio station with us, to see that he actually did sit on phone books to be able to see over the wheel. I mean, he couldn't have been, what, 5 foot tall?
He wasn't 5 foot.
Yeah, a little bitty guy.
Because I was 5 foot, and he was shorter than I was.
Now, where did he come from? Do you know? How did Dr. Yearwood get to Nicholasville?
The first store that he had was Walgreens in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
And from there, he and Mrs. Yearwood, when they married, moved to Chicago, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
When he was in Chicago, Illinois, he ran the Walgreens store that was next to the Lexington Hotel.
Okay.
The Lexington Hotel at that time was the home of Al Capone.
Really?
Yes.
So he was in the, he was, that was his, it's where he lived. Al
yes.
Capone lived in this hotel.
He lived in that hotel, and Mr. Yearwood said that he ordered his cigars for him. And when he came in to pick them up every week, he was accompanied by two men in long trench coats.
Wow.
And I asked him, what'd you call him, Al or Mr. Capone? And he said, I'm still alive. I called him Mr. Capone.
Man, what history to order cigars for Al Capone.
Yeah.
So he was in Chicago, and then what?
And then from Chicago, he came to Nicholasville, where he bought his own franchise from the Walgreens.
So that's how he knew about Nicholasville.
Yes.
Walgreens had a franchise available,
and he bought it. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't because he knew somebody here. It just, that was the one.
Not that I know of.
It could have been a franchise in Tennessee or anywhere. It just happened to be here. Thank goodness.
Yeah, because he was with Walgreens from the time he graduated from pharmacy school.
Mm-hmm.
He went straight in with Walgreens, and he retired from Walgreens and bought his own franchise. And as you know, he worked until he was well into his late 70s.
So when he first came here, was it known as Walgreens or was it known as Yearwoods?
I believe he went ahead and got the name Yearwoods on there. Okay. But some of his labels, we've still got his prescription labels, will say Walgreens.
So he came here. He's a pharmacist. Do we know where he was born?
No, I don't.
Not sure about that. And that is the bad thing about not having offspring that we can talk to. A lot of this information is lost unless we can find an obituary or something.
He had a sister in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And as far as I knew, he had the one nephew that came down to see him that was named after him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the boy was probably in high school at that time, and it was during the summer. And he made the mistake of telling people, when Uncle Tom dies, I'll get the whole thing.
And Uncle Tom found out.
Exactly.
And he didn't get the whole thing.
No, he didn't. As far as I know, he never spoke to him after he left.
Wow. But you know, he and his wife ran this store for, when did he come in, the 40s? Or do you know?
That's about right, I'd say, because when he graduated pharmacy school, was in like 1910.
Yeah, so it was probably sometime in the 40s. And he had the whole deal there. You know, I was talking last week. We had an interview with Ronnie Briner, and we talked about Briner's store. And the thing that we were talking about was that when you had a store like that, and even a drugstore, it wasn't just a place you bought your prescriptions. I mean, it was the total package. They had everything there. You mentioned at the first some of the things behind the fountain. You know, what could you come into Yearwoods and find other than the fountain, you know?
Of course, I started working for him in 1973, right after I graduated. We were selling cigarettes for 20 cents a package. And one of our customers, when we raised it to 25 cents, this little old fellow, he came in and threw an absolute fit because he had to pay a quarter for a package of cigarettes. We had anywhere from harmonicas, sunglasses, magazines, any kind of things that you might need for the house. There were lotions, perfumes, men's shaving, Barisol, the brushes that you used, a lot of first aid items that you might put in your medicine cabinet.
Right.
He had just about anything as far as stomach aches and cough syrups. And at that time, we could still sell, it's called tincture terpene hydrate with codeine.
Yeah, wow.
And the only thing you had to do was he kept track of the bottles, which were 4-ounce bottles. And he would order it by the case, and he kept a notebook, and he would write down your name and date when you got it. And then that way he could keep up. Of course, he had a memory like a steel trap.
But that was his control. We didn't have a lot of these federal drug regulations like we do now.
No.
But he kept up with it.
He kept up
now,
with himself.
I guess back then, he, you know, nowadays, I think druggists, of course, they've got so much to think about and so much to keep up with. But nowadays, they get their pills already made for them. But did he use the pestle mortar and made his own?
Yes, we did.
And put his own in the capsules and the whole thing?
We have even had, when a customer would come in, the doctor would write for a placebo pill. And we had empty capsules that we filled with powdered sugar.
And that's what they took. You remember the old Andy Griffith episode where the woman, there was, and I can't remember the character's name, but she was mad because she couldn't get her pills because they had a new druggist, Ellie, come to town. And she wouldn't give her the pills. And as it turned out, it was placebos. It was sugar pills. So that actually happened.
Yeah.
Well, that's not just something they wrote in a script.
Mm-mm.
And those were ordered by the doctors. And no telling how many people took those pills here in this county and thought it was real medicine.
We didn't give them out a whole lot.
Yeah.
But there was the occasional prescription. And, of course, that person was fine once you gave it to them. They had their prescription and they went on their merry way.
I had my pills. Wow.
I got my pills.
He was truly, and not taking away anything from any druggist now, but he truly made the medicine, if you will.
We made ointments.
Yeah.
And he would actually take, it was like an ointment base, but it wouldn't have any medication in it. And he would take the medication, and we would use the spatula on the marble top back there, and just blend it and blend it and blend it until we got the ointment.
Wow.
And then he put it in a little jar with the prescription label on it.
Amazing. So it was homemade, as homemade as it could get. So much different than it is now. And he would truly, I'm sure, be amazed if he could come back now and see some of the advances, especially. And they had the fountain, of course, and that kind of thing. And it was a great place to get the Cherry Cokes. And everybody, there's certain things in this community, Dina, that if you talk about, we've talked about this on the program before, that if you mention Ward's Bakery, lot of people can still smell it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, you mention Yearwoods, and they'll say Cherry Cokes. I mean, exactly. That's just the thing that kind of went with them. Now, another thing that you would find in the Yearwoods drugstore, if you went in at certain times, he had a real nice propensity for cats. Tell us about his cats, because I know they were named and pretty, everybody knew them.
One was Paggio, mm-hmm. The other was Shunbun, and those were named after Paul Shearer, the man that gave him the kittens, mm-hmm. who lived on Shun Road. So it's Paggio and Shunbun.
Mm-hmm.
And Shunbun lived to be almost 20. And Paggio passed away right before I started working there. Well, when my mom started working there, which was right after my little brother died,
mm-hmm.
she decided he needed another cat because Shunbun was just lonely.
Yeah.
So we got this little black kitten from downtown Lexington, the Humane Society. We rescued him,
mm-hmm.
put a bow on his neck, and brought him in. And he looked at him and he said, "Betty, you look like Trouble." So that was his name.
Trouble. Now, am I remembering right? The cats didn't run wild during normal hours. But he let them out after the store closed, and you could see them in the windows and all the bit. I know Doc Yearwood was a faithful member of the Nixville Christian Church. I've heard many people who knew him said that he had probably one of the prettiest singing voices
mm-hmm.
of a lot of people. Sang in the choir?
Right? Sang in the choir. He and Johnny Taylor and Melinda Crawford Foster,
mm-hmm.
They all sang in the choir. They have Wednesday night practice, choir practice, and another thing he loved to do was his Rotary.
Oh, yeah, he was big in the Rotary
Big
club,
time
wasn't
in the Rotary.
Yeah.
Well, we had two ladies that worked with me, Mary Frances and Elizabeth Gill,
mm-hmm.
and they had worked there a long time before I did. But when I came, Mr. Yearwood would get a fish or trout from Sears, and Chef Sears would fix this, wrap it in Reynolds wrap, and he'd bring that in, and I would have to sit and debone that for the cats.
For the cats. Oh, this wasn't for him.
It's for the cats.
Chef Sears fish.
Mm-hmm.
What about that? That's another program we're open to one day. He was married to Miss Yearwood. Now, Miss Yearwood, sometimes she was nice, but she was kind of, she had her own way. We'll say it that way. Miss Yearwood did.
A little gruff.
Yeah. Mr. Yearwood, I think, was the personality of the place, but they were married for a long, long time. She died first.
Yes.
Is that right?
She was actually gone before I came to work for him.
You see, I don't remember her either.
No.
Now, you mentioned you worked there, your mother. Gosh, you've had a lot of family. I mean, it's the whole family.
Melinda Foster.
Right.
Annetta King.
Mm-hmm.
Floell Crawford. Pat Durham and myself.
All five of you.
All five of us.
So he took care of that as far as that family's concerned. But now some of the other people that worked over there, can you remember some names? You mentioned two. You mentioned Gil.
Okay, there was Cindy Cobb.
Who is now Hobson. That's Shirley, one of Shirley Cobb's daughters.
Mm-hmm. And then there was Catherine Masters.
Okay.
Which, that again, she was a mother-in-law to Jean Crawford.
Okay.
So she was another family member.
Yeah,
and I believe that was about it during the time that I worked down there. Todd Downing.
Who is a pharmacist.
Yes,
I think he's now with CVS, but I guess that's where he probably got all of his learning, if you will, if I can use some bad grammar here. You know, he's kind of like I was when I was involved in the funeral business. I learned my trade from Elstein Hager, and Todd learned his from Doc Yearwood, and we probably had two of the best teachers in those fields that was ever walked as far as knowing the business.
Mr. Yearwood knew everybody's name when they walked through the door.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I knew faces, but not names.
Yeah.
He knew everybody's name, what their prescription was before he ever went back behind that counter.
Mm-hmm.
And he would also open the store. If you went to the hospital and were seen in the emergency
mm-hmm.
room,
mm-hmm.
we didn't have all-night pharmacies.
Right.
We didn't have, most of them closed at 6, 7 o'clock back then. And he would, if you called him, he would come downstairs and let you in and fill that prescription.
You know, another thing that a lot of people may not know about Doc Yearwood, and I know a little bit about it, he had a big heart. Do you have any idea how many kids' tuition he paid for college?
He had a room. He and Mrs. Yearwood started it, so it was way back before the 70s even.
Yeah.
And he would sponsor a girl from that room all the way through school. And one of the girls that he sponsored was Ann, and she lives in Versailles, and pardon me for, I can't remember her last name.
Sure.
She and Ghoul McDowell and Mom were the three that he included in his will.
Yeah.
And he knew Mom was going to build a house, so he left her furniture.
Wow. What about that?
And he had a pipe organ upstairs.
Upstairs at the drugstore?
In the drugstore.
Really?
Apartment
well, now
upstairs.
Did they live upstairs?
Yes.
Yeah.
He lived upstairs, and he had the little seat that would, he'd sit in the seat and go up the steps. And then he would let the cats out. That was his nightly routine. And he would go ahead, and if he went out to eat with us, like he ate with our family quite a bit. And we included him in Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, all those things. And he and Daddy had an ongoing thing of who was going to pay the tab. And they were sneaky about it, and it was whoever could get away from the table first.
Yeah, that's funny.
But Ann, he would take her to dinner.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I think he might have paid part of her wedding. But he kept up with her. She stayed with him as far as in contact when they got married, when they had their children. Another thing he had was there was a racehorse that somebody here in town had. And he had all those pictures of the racehorses up over his desk back there.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that I ever remember him doing as far as the horses was this one horse.
Right. You know, he affected a lot of people. I was privileged in just in the past few months to be a casket bearer for a lady that died. And I was talking to a friend of mine who I played ball with, who is from this town and a name that is known in the African-American community very well. But for some reason, we got to talking about history. And he brought up Doc Yearwood. And he said, now he's a year older than me, so he would have been a young fella. And you got to remember, folks, that even though segregation took place when it did, it wasn't over then. It still went on. But this young fella looked at me, and he said, one thing I'll always remember about Doc Yearwood. He said, my brother and I would go in the store. And we were told by our parents, tell them what you want as far as a milkshake or whatever, and then just step back, and after you get it, stand back there, back next whatever, and drink it. And he said, the thing that I will never forget, Doc Yearwood would look at us and say, boys,
have a seat.
You sit down at the counter. You don't have to stand up. That is the impression that is still in the mind of that fella today, that Doc Yearwood treated him, and this is his words, treated me just like he did any white person. That's one of the legacies that he's left. Now, your family was close to him. It's very obvious. But give me, if you can, this is a hard question, Dina. If somebody walked up to you and said with one word, describe Tom Yearwood, what would you say?
Loving.
And it sounds it, from all we've talked about,
very
loving man.
I remember it was one of the members of the black church down by where the jail is now. The lady passed away. And we closed the store, and we all went to the funeral. We didn't stay open. Nobody stayed back to run the store. And we all went, and we all stayed for the service.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was that way all the time. He was fair to everybody.
Yeah, that's the way I remember him, too. We have a lot of people still in this world that are like that. We don't maybe see him as much because there's so many people. We're so busy. We've got so much going on. But can't we count ourselves fortunate to have known him?
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Every day.
And he was so fun-loving, and from what I remember, and you knew him better than I did, and so nice to talk to and to get along and cordial and just the way that you would want your Mayberry drugstore person to be. That was Tom Yearwood.
Well, he hired, I believe Annetta was the first one. And she was still in school, and she had to get a work permit. The thing that I remember is, of course, Granny had the four kids younger than me. Granddaddy couldn't work. He'd had a heart attack. She worked at Hobbs and at the dime store and then down at Martin's. And he always made sure that she got her medicine at cost.
Yeah.
For the kids. And the same thing when we worked for him. We all got our medicine at cost. We didn't get paid a lot, but the benefits of being with him and and learning the things I learned, he liked to, if you were interested, he would further your knowledge. Like, I used to enjoy talking with the doctors and trying to read the prescriptions, and I never filled any prescriptions, but he would let me type the label or count out the pills. And then he would sit there and he would go through it and double check. And when he would have a bout with gout, he would put his lawn chair back there in the back, the recliner with the foot up. And he'd sit back there on his recliner, and he would take care of the prescription part of it. But then he would let me do the running back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he didn't close for gout. As far as I can tell, the whole time I worked for him, he never closed for illness. But he'd go see old Doc Williams. They were big buddies.
Doc Yearwood was quite a fella. And there is a reason, folks, that when we talk about places that used to be, there is a reason that just about everybody that you discuss it with comes up with the same names. And Yearwood's is always included in that. You know, you have your Ward's Bakery, and you
Hemp Hills
is mentioned. And you know, that's another thing that we haven't even talked about. Back then, it wasn't this fierce, I hate you competitor mode between him and Buddy Hager and Joe McMurtry. They were buddies.
They would call if they were short on a prescription they were filling. Can I borrow?
Yeah, they worked together.
And I'll pay you back when that comes in. And they did that. They would trade back and forth because I ran them back and forth.
That happened in this town a lot because I remember, you know, there was probably no closer friends in this town than John Sutherland and Bobby Sellers, Sutherland and Keller. And they sold cars against each other every day. But at the end of the day, they were together and drinking coffee. And isn't that a great way that used to be?
Yeah, because you could depend on that other fellow as your backup.
Yeah. And so Yearwood's is one that people remember and people remember with much fondness. Tell us about the end. Do you remember?
At the end.
What year did he die? I want to say it was in the early 80s. Does that sound about right?
Yes. He got sick.
Yeah.
And that was when he had to close the store, was prior to that. And he ended up going to the hospital, and he had to have a couple of different surgeries.
Yeah.
And during that time, Mom and Dad stayed with him. I want to say that was before we adopted Joel, because Mom and Dad spent all their time with
him,
with Mr. Yearwood.
Yeah.
They made the arrangements for him to go to Darby Square when he got out of the hospital.
Right.
And that's when he had to let everything go.
Yeah. We certainly remember him fondly, and I hope a lot of people out there still do. As we have alluded to on this program before, there will come a day where people won't remember Tom Yearwood, or me, or you, or anybody. But while we have the ability to do it, I hope people do remember and look back and think about those people that not only treated people right, but really were the guiding force in making our town what it is. I mean, these business people kept it going and kept it vital and really added to the building of Nicholasville and Jessamyn counties. I just want to thank you for coming in and sharing with us about Doc Yearwood, because he is one of those guys that if you had the honor to know him, you didn't forget him.
That's right.
And he was just so pleasant to be around, and the way he ran his business, and I know you guys especially, he was not a boss, he was a family member.
Well, thank you, Doug. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about him.
Well, I want to take this time to thank Dina for coming in and talking to us about Doc Yearwood and Yearwood's Drugstore, one of those great places that we all surely miss and wish was back on Main Street. Well, this is All Things Jessamyn. We do it every Saturday morning at 11, and we'll do it again next week, too. It's all right here for you on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamyn County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamyn County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.